Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
One thing that we could probably say now is I would say that we're a little bit more experienced. You know, I would also say that with that experience, you learn not to come in with looking too far down the road and looking, talking too much about expectations. Our expectation is to make sure that we're ready for game one right now. And I think that that's probably something that we've learned along the way here. We know that we're going to play a great hockey team, a team that, kind of year after year, they're sort of picked right from the start of the year, just the way that they're built as far as being a Stanley Cup contender. So we know that it's going to be a tough task.
Is this what you wanted?
Will you answer to?
Yeah.
This is what you wanted?
Yeah.
Why would you want this?
Because I need some Slim Whitman, and everyone out there knows that I love Slim Whitman, and I'd like to get some...
What do you mean everybody knows that you like Slim Whitman?
It's kind of a known thing.
Never heard that before.
Seriously? You ever seen pictures of Slim Whitman?
I'm looking at a picture of him right now. Is this something that, like, Bob Sansevier would like us to play?
No. He likes Eddie Cantor, something like that. But I just want to get in the right mood.
What mood does this put you in?
It makes me want to yodel. And I don't know why you don't follow suit. This is Radioactive Sports.
I honest to God don't think that you mean this. You're laughing. What is going on here? Is this a joke on me? What's going on?
No, it's just...
You did this on purpose.
Yeah.
What does this have to do with anything? This sounds...
I idolize him.
This guy is awful.
I love him.
Slim
Whitman. He's not Duck, but I kind of like the strangest about him. We're going to be doing a few of these. Not...
It's only Tuesday. I have like a week to go yet of shows to do with you, and then right before we get on the radio, you say, "Hey, we're gonna do some new music."
Change the music up a little bit. Is that okay?
No, not this.
No, we get to kind of pick and choose, don't we?
I guess
This is great. Now I want to play Marty Robbins' White Sport Coat.
Oh my!
After this, and then I want to get just one more in from Leon Redbone, if you wouldn't mind. I just think it's really good. And I think the listeners should be allowed to settle down into the sports groove that we are.
This doesn't do anything for me at all. It almost sounds like what's going on in Hawaii or something.
That's the idea. Find yourself at like a luau, but not. And with the flowered shirt, but not so much. I mean, it's like a lazy spring summer afternoon with Slim Whitman. This is Indian love song. And I think everyone should grow to like this. It'll grow on you. Listen.
No,
listen.
Like 18 Alien, what is it?
Wait.
Alien Sacrifice to press the dislike button.
You messed up the best part. Right here. See there. Right there.
Incredible song from Mars Attacks.
Thank you for playing that. I really appreciate it. We can get started with the show now. Not a problem at all.
Stupid. Thank God that's done.
I think it'll grow on you. And I think that when these teams around here keep losing, I think that that's the kind of spirit that we can get everyone back on track with.
Oh, God, what is this now?
I don't know. I just asked for the one.
Slim Whitman, I remember you.
Just, here's something about Slim that you need to become more appreciative of that has almost completely gone away from music in this day and age is yodeling. And if you don't appreciate it, you'll grow to.
I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate you telling me to play this. I don't appreciate having to hear this.
He's up. Look, I came in today. You're sitting there wearing sunglasses. Mm, you have red frames on.
Good.
Sunglasses, red frames. You had a headache. I don't know if you still have one or not.
Oh,
but this,
God, yeah.
This would be the kind of music soothing enough to be able to bring you down to do the rest of the show and not have that terrible sort of that achy head. This is good for you. It's therapeutic.
I feel that, but then it's you talking about this that makes it worse.
Maybe I should just let the music soothe you and not say anything, right?
All right, just let me try this.
A couple minutes of this, you'll be fine. The headache will be gone.
I remember to a distant bell and stars that fell.
Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. I will not let this happen ever again.
Okay.
So much for ever trusting you ever again.
Well, I think it's just it's the kind of day that we can use every now and then around here as sort of a change up. Kind of a change of pace. So for my next song, I'd like you to put Marty Robbins on. For like the next segment, perhaps.
Marty Robbins.
And I'd like to, if you can get white sport coat, that'd be awfully good. That'd be just great. Cue that up. What was this thing about Coach O? I don't even care, but Coach O was talking about the tough task ahead. I think we not worry about things like that. We should go into just sort of a peace and tranquility mode and just get on board with Marty Robbins and understand that life doesn't have to be about losing.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation.
I want everyone just to settle down. Take a little siesta. Mid-afternoon. Have a coffee or a tea. And join Ben and myself. We'll walk you through the suck-ass sports that we have.
I feel so terrible because the Twins, the Wild, the Timberwolves, and the Vikings, obviously, and the new soccer team.
Yeah.
The Gophers, football, basketball, whatever.
Your point.
Hockey team.
You're just naming the team.
There isn't a team playing tonight at all, so there's no chance of losing or being a chance to embarrass any of us.
So it's a good day to just stand down.
Well,
right? You stand there, just lay low for a day.
No, I get that part.
The losing's back tomorrow.
I get that part, but why do we have to listen to crap like this?
This is stand-down music.
No. Normally you're AC/DC. What are the other bands that you normally like?
I like Pantera. I like Marilyn Manson.
Good stuff.
I like Led Zeppelin. And I like Rob Zombie. But this is the kind of thing that I think we're needing to get back to more of. When we go into these losing tirades that we had all day yesterday, it was a horrible, horrible show.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
Of nothing but losing and baloney and crap that you and I had to delve into. You and I were pissing each other off completely. It was a horrible show because you were in a bad mood and so was I. And we met in the middle and it was garbage. So I thought, Slim Whitman, lighten this place up a little bit.
Did your dad make you listen to this when you were younger before? I mean, where did this come from? Because normally, when we used to work with Bob Sansevier, he would say, why do we have to listen? Why do we have to play these kind of crappy songs?
So now
you're right in there with Bob Sansevier liking these songs from back in the day.
No, the stuff that Bob likes is so bad. Like the Eddie Cantor 1920s, the Roaring Twenties stuff that Bob likes and the vaudeville stuff. I mean, this is Marty Robbins right here. And let's not talk about the track record of
Marty
Robbins. Look up Slim Whitman and find out how many records he's sold. Because
didn't we already play a song from him?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't need to play.
Do you know the name of it? What have you learned?
That it sucks and I don't ever want to hear anything about
Indian
that again.
Indian Love song is a fantastic Indian Love call. Maybe I don't know what it is.
I don't have to go to YouTube ever again. When it comes to any suggestion that you have for music ever again on this radio show.
Well, you can't tell me that you don't feel a little better now.
No, I don't. I feel terrible. It makes me want to vomit. You want to puke?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wait.
Maybe if we put on a little Leon Redbone. I think it's Lazy Moon.
I wish maybe you were kind and helpful.
I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help right now. Look, if you want the same kind of thing we had here yesterday, keep it up.
Okay. How about what happened to the Minnesota Timberwolves last night? They're the worst team in the NBA, and they are seated at the right hand of the first ever chance for the Minnesota Timberwolves to have the number one the NBA lottery, whatever you call it. They have the worst record in the NBA.
With one more game left to play, right?
Yep.
So I like our chances, but wait. Oh, wait. Darn it. You know, I just remembered. The NBA goes on a lottery system.
See,
I mean, now if we were football, we'd get the first pick.
But it's 25% that the Minnesota Timberwolves have the best chance of being the number one pick in the NBA draft this year.
Yeah, 1-4.
So I think they can maybe tie it with the New York Knicks, but it looks like they're going to be the best. Right?
I just, you always still take the chance of losing the number one guy.
Of course you do.
And that's horrible.
Of course it does.
What, should we take a little bet? A little side bet?
No.
As to what, as to where we end up?
Every time that you and I end up like betting, you always win. Except that one time that I beat you for $1,300 for the
baseball.
Minnesota Twins.
Last year's baseball team.
You thought the Twins would
be 500.
And it's
then
not
I lost, then I lost Cowbell.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to him.
I don't either.
Hit a home run for his mother's birthday, and we never saw him again. So I don't know what the deal is. Look, you tell me where this team is at, and I think we should bet on. I don't think we have to bet on where we stand in come the lottery. I think we'll probably have the most chances.
25%
25% chance to get the number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should bet on where we think the team really will pick.
Yeah. Timberwolves 16-65, fifth in the Northwest Division. The New York Knicks 17-64 after beating Atlanta on Monday night.
Yeah.
The Wolves now the worst record in the NBA.
There you go.
The Minnesota Timberwolves had only 12 healthy players by the end of the game last night. 12 players. One more game to go. Hopefully, Kevin Martin looks like he might be done with his, whatever. It looks like he had some sort of a flu or some sort of crazy illness. Should be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be at Hubert's before the Timberwolves.
I don't think he needs to hurry back. I don't think that Kevin Martin needs to hurry back.
But the only reason he needs to come back is because there are only six other people that are healthy for the last game. They need more than six players.
Ah,
come on.
Get out there. Just give it the old college try. Run and gun, just like Andrew Wiggins. Give it about 42, 43 minutes. Roll somebody else in there. Come on. You're professional athletes. Do you have Leon Redbone queued up for the next segment?
Leon Redbone.
Yeah.
What's that?
It's just another great musician that you probably are not aware of. Redbone. You can kind of follow along with the bouncing ball. And like
song?
I don't know. Lazy. Is it Lazy Moon?
Lazy Bones.
Lazy Bones. Sorry. Yeah, close. Oh, Moon, God. Bones. And I think you'll really like it. Do we have time? We have to take a break? We got plenty of time to talk, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, see, now this is going to work out just fine. Now, this is the kind of thing that you and I can talk over and ponder the NFL. Not so much the NFL, but the NBA lottery. See, this is good, right?
Looks like Leon Redbone is killing his mom at the... pushing her off into the water or something. Never get
yeah, the song is very misleading. It actually sounds like a really soothing song, but this is actually where he pushes his mother in the river.
He looks fat. And there's cocaine? And there's cocaine in the... What's going on here?
I knew you'd like it.
Oh, it's cornmeal. Looks like cocaine.
Well, I want you to settle down. You've got a headache. I want you to start settling down and learning how to relax. It's all about trying to work yourself back into that that focus that you had like last week. Yesterday it was just horrible in here. You were just god awful.
I was awful yesterday.
Horrible.
No, today I'm awful. Yesterday I was furious.
I was furious yesterday. You had like a Mike Berardino attitude coming in here. And you kept it going the entire show. And the only thing that it did for me, it made me worse than you. So people must have thought, what is this?
I think that's probably what they're thinking right now. I feel terrible about that. What's going on today? Because I'm not my best by any means. So you're going to have to, like normal, I'm going to have to jump on your back.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to take care of me the rest of the way because it's not good.
It's going to be okay, though. It's going to be all right. And I don't know what to think of anything. The hockey season's coming to a screeching halt, but we go into the playoffs. Same with basketball. Baseball's off to a screeching halt. And then the Vikings, my God, some of the different talk that's coming out again. We kind of started something, I think, yesterday. Some people must have been listening. I found something on Bleacher Report.
Uh-oh. About what?
Did you see that?
About what?
Did you see it?
What's it about?
Adrian Peterson didn't visit the Vikings on recent visit.
Yeah, that was this weekend, and he left yesterday.
He didn't say anything that the Vikes can stop off and see him.
No.
Okay.
No, he didn't.
Well, we have that. So let's take a little break and regroup and try and get Ben back on his game. I think we've settled him down a little bit. I want you to come back with Slim Whitman again. We're gonna grind this in.
No, we're not going.
Jerry Zagoda would probably like it.
No,
we're gonna go with Jerry Zagoda, the great one, the Star Tribune. And beat writer for the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll have him on next. Jay-Z, next.
Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Yes. All around the world.
Will you shut up?
To the beach, y'all.
Let's go. Playoffs.
All around the world.
Playoffs.
Y'all know this is so dead.
It's not?
I think it is. I think I might have a tumor going on.
Let me see it.
Oh, you have to cut off my head.
No, that's okay. I can tell. I can see it from here. Yeah. You're fine. Push it back.
Oh, okay.
Push it back in.
That's easy enough. Perfect.
We welcome Jerry Zagoda to the Radioactive Sports Show. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Number one, first thing off the right off the top. Were you ever a really big Slim Whitman fan or not?
I love Slim. Everybody loves Slim, don't you?
No,
I
stop think, it. I've never heard of the you Slim do. Whitman before in the rest of my life.
Can you get this guy right, Jerry? Can you get him right?
You obviously didn't. You weren't alive in the 70s, were you?
I don't think he was. And then I tried to get him hooked on Marty Robbins. He poo-pooed that. And then I tried to get him into some Leon Redbone. You and I are both the same age. You know what quality music is.
Leon Redbone, wow.
Leon Redbone.
You're bringing up a few.
And see?
You guys are nutbags. Jerry, all that
we care about... We're trained professionals.
Jerry, now,
I want to set the ground rules. Whose names are we mentioning and not mentioning today?
You know what? You can go ahead and say Okafor as much as you want. You can't say Cat. You can say Cat. Don't say his name. No, don't say his real name. But you can say Okafor all day long, Jerry.
Okay,
there. So that groundwork is set.
And
because
Jerry,
we don't want him.
How do you feel, Jerry, being the Minnesota Timberwolves having the worst record in the NBA now with the New York the New York Knicks ended up having 17 wins in the NBA. Now the Timberwolves only have 16. One game left tomorrow, regular season. Here we go.
Well, they could still tie it, but there's about a 0.5% chance that happens. You got an Oklahoma City team that needs the win. You got a Wolves team that's down to, what, six guys, and I'm sure we'll do everything so that they don't win. I mean, if you're going to go through all the pain this season, you might as well have some benefit to it. And the benefit to this is not people say, oh, they're not going to get the first pick anyways. It's not that little extra chance and the 25% chance over the 19.9% chance that you're going to get number one. The important thing is this. The lottery indeed does treat you not well, like it never really has for the Wolves. But they can't pick any worse than fourth. You know, they can't pick fifth. So that is the advantage to it. In a draft like that, that could be important.
Are there four strong candidates?
There's probably five, but four gives you the choice. You got the two big men. You got the guy who will not be named, and you got Okafor, and then you got
right.
two guards.
There you go.
Moudet, who played in China, and you've got. D'Angelo Russell played at Ohio State, and then you got this kid from Latvia, who they say is probably as skilled as any of them. I think his name is Kristaps Porzingis, or some facsimile thereabouts. And they keep saying, you know, scouts say that, you know, he's like Dirk Nowitzki, that kind of skill.
Wow, that's a pretty tall. Tall order right there. I mean, if we'd take anything even remotely close to
no,
that.
No, come on. Just one. We want one guy. His name is Cat. That's it. We don't want Okafor. I mean, I guess Okafor.
I hate to disappoint you, but my hunch is, and I certainly don't have a full look at their draft board, but today we still got a long ways to go. We got 3 months to go. But if I had a bet, and so if they had the number one pick right now, I think they take Okafor.
Well, you know what? He was not exactly stellar in that last game against Wisconsin, but...
So, you can make a lot of mistakes making picks judged on tournament play.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Because for 4 months, he was a guy who you wouldn't name his name, and then all of a sudden... in 2 weeks, he goes to the end of the bench, and all of a sudden, you got a new favorite. And sometimes that you got to trust the whole body of work, and you got to trust your instincts. And I just get the feeling from the guys at Target Center that they think in the pro game, no one's going to be able to guard Oak for one-on-one, and that he's a great passer. And if you bring help, it's going to leave somebody else open, and that. The NBA is a completely different animal than college basketball and the NCAA tournament is.
There's no doubt in my mind. I think the guy, Okafor, has as much upside as anyone that I saw during the tournament. He looks raw to me, and it looks like he could be just this enormous project for someone to finally go tap into what's really in there. And the other guy, Cat, if you will, I think he's already kind of where he's going to be. I mean, I just kind of think that he's already found his skill set and his athleticism, and I don't know. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be a quality player, but I just think there's more of an upside maybe to Okafor.
Well, they're both going to get better, but a guy like Okafor, I don't know if it's so much he can't play defense. I think he hasn't or wouldn't play defense in college, and you look at him, he's 19 years old, you look at that body, you envision it getting some of that, you know, baby fat off of it and his body maturing and growing. And you just look at him, just look at pictures of him holding a ball. It looks like, you know, an orange or a grapefruit when he holds it. Those guys usually, a guy like him, a guy like Kawhi Leonard, guys with huge hands like that, it's just an advantage for him. And, I just think they think you put him down on the block and he is going to demand double teams, and he just has such fundamentals. I know a couple guys in the NBA who think, you know, he's Tim Duncan, maybe not defensively, but in terms of fundamentals and his moves and just how polished he is at the age of 19. And then you got to remember Duncan was, 3 years out of college when he came into the pros. He was like 21, not old, but this guy's still a baby.
That's true. How about Tyus Jones? Do you see anything for that kid down the road? I don't think he'll be coming out this year, but do you think he could be a great pro?
I don't know. We haven't got the announcement from yet. I kind of expected him to come out, so we'll still see. And usually when guys are like they are yesterday at Twins games on off doing stuff like that, that usually signals to me that they're probably going to go pro, but we'll see. And, he's not – I know I've had people on Twitter who I don't know if they were implying that the Wolves should draft him with their third or fourth or first pick, whatever it ends up being, but they wanted him. But he's a guy who's probably going to go in the late teens, 20s, and certainly has some liability, but he'll play in the league.
I think so, too. I think the kid is special. But and in a very sort of unassuming way, to look at him and to see the body type and the thinking about the NBA and then the kind of physicality that goes into the play at the NBA level, it's just hard to see him doing that right away, but... But he's so slick and he's so smart and elusive. I think he's just a smart kid. I've talked to him I don't know how many times, but he's so polished. I mean, he's good with the media, but he's the kind of guy who you could put out there on the court and he knows exactly where to be on the court day one.
And I will see what kind of foot speed he has, what kind of athleticism he has, and, you know, that's a completely different game. So, it'll be interesting to see if he does come out and where he goes. I don't think the Wolves have any other way to get him. They have no other picks other than, I think, the first pick of the second round. I doubt if he does come out that he'd last.
Jerry, what happened to the end of last night's game? Flip Saunders said they've finished basically with six healthy players. Who's going to start tomorrow for the final season or the final game?
I don't know.
Of the season?
I wonder if they got any eligibility left in Sidney Lowe or Ryan Saunders. They don't have a lot of, by rules they have to have eight guys healthy ready to go, and I don't even know if they had that last day. They're just taking it and getting it through, so we'll see if Budinger went limping off, and I think Hamilton got hurt, and I don't think they expect anybody else back, so I don't know if at this point they get, I wouldn't see them, signing anybody just for the one game, but I don't know how they're going to get to eight. So that's a good question.
I think maybe Sam Mitchell. Who knows? Just line up.
Sam might have a little bit left in him. I mean,
he could do it.
He still looks like a young man.
I think so. Maybe even Flip himself. I mean, he already has the title of three or four different positions around there. I don't know why he can't get out there and play a little basketball and finish the season.
Or Calvin Booth. Calvin looks like he could get out and play, give you a few minutes.
I agree with that. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Finish up the season and get on with this lottery thing. Even though I hate to say the word lottery when we talk about the draft, we're going to end up with a quality player, it sounds like. I mean, if it's 3, 4, 5 deep, whatever the case, you know, that's good enough. Well, I guess I'll take it.
Well, who could the Wolves?
Go back. I had to go back and look, but you look at the team that finished with the worst record, and I think it's a pretty good percentage that you end up being one of the at least getting one of the top three picks. You know, the odds go up for you to do that. So we'll see if at least, you know, they don't end up the fourth pick. And even if they do, I mean, you're still going to get a player. It's probably not the need that you want. If you're thinking they need a big man, but any of those four guys or the kid from Latvia, I mean, they're all supposed to be pretty good players. And you had them to Wiggins, who's become better than anybody thought he was going to progress this year, and Levine, who's come on strong, and you know, if they can ever get Bennett healthy and see what he's got, and
what about Payne?
Give Payne a training, Adrian Payne a training camp, and tell him just to go rebound and defend, and just worry about that stuff. You know, they got a lot of interesting pieces and a lot of young pieces, and now you're going to be adding another one or two to them.
Jerry, any update on yesterday's surgery that Ricky Rubio had on the arthroscopic surgery on his left ankle, which he hurt himself back in November against the Orlando Magic? Any updates on him?
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't at the game, so I didn't hear any more detail on what exactly they found, other than they expect him to make a full recovery. So I don't know. I'll do a little poking around on that tomorrow, and we all gather at Hubert's, maybe a little more info on that. But they think Pekovic is going to be, you know, both those guys, probably Rubio earlier than Pekovic, but you know, by the time camp comes around, they should at least be getting back on the court doing stuff. Particularly in Pekovic's case, it's 5-6 months. I don't know what the timetable is on Rubio. I know he's still out in LA and probably will be there for some time. I just saw the Instagram thing he just posted with him lip syncing "Good Morning Vietnam" from Robin Williams, so at least he must be in good spirits.
That sounds like it. Are you happy with the notion that they played him when they played him that late in the season after all the ankle issues that he had, Jerry?
Well, I mean, I think they thought he was coming back. I mean, that didn't develop again. I mean, it didn't develop right away. He played 20 some games that developed, and they tried to get him back. I think they played about one or two more games. So, I mean, you're not going to shut him down for the whole year in January. You want to get him to come back, and I don't know what he was saying to them during that time. But as it went on, I think he played with it all right, and I don't know if he aggravated it or had something happen to it again. But, it wasn't something that you expected. They were going to shut him down for a whole year on it. He tried to play on it, and what they found exactly, I don't know. We'll find out hopefully a little more detail on that.
Thank you for your time, sir. We appreciate it, and we'll have you hopefully down in front of us at the table tomorrow at Hubert's and the finale of the Timberwolves season.
This is farewell. Then we won't be hanging out for 6 more months. It'll be sad.
I know it. But you can come on the show anytime you want. You can talk any sport you want to with us anytime, and I'll play Slim Whitman for you.
No,
I'm sure we'll talk again at lotto time and draft time.
Oh, that's true too. Of course. But thank you very much, and we'll see you tomorrow then, Jerry.
All right, yeah. If you could do a little Slim yodeling for me tomorrow, that'd be great.
Oh, we got that covered. We've already got that covered. It's done deal. Ben, you just screw off. He got what he wanted. I just said so. Now, let that be a lesson to you. Swiss miss. Little instant marshmallows.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, up next, 4.5 questions at 4:30. That's how we roll around here. So get ready, Ben. Well, ask me 4 questions. I will brilliantly explain everything to all of you so you won't have to ask the same damn question again. And then another a brief sort of a synopsis and breaking that down, and we'll do all that next.
Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm Twins territory welcome home, Kevin Garnett, joining Kevin or his kids, Coco and Capri. The Twins right fielder, Torrey Hunter. Ladies and gentlemen, here to deliver today's ceremonial first first ball to Kevin Garnett as a young man who grew up watching and idolizing Kevin. An All-American in Apple Valley High School three times, named Minnesota Boys Basketball Player of the Year. And earlier this month, named Most Outstanding Player at the 2015 NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Tournament, leading the Duke Blue Devils to the national championship as a freshman. Please welcome Minnesota's own Tyus Jones. Now, KG, it's your pitch.
That was probably the nicest part of yesterday at all, the opening day of the Twins, Target Field.
I'd say from there it went downhill, just completely downhill.
Yeah.
And then it just got ugly, yeah.
Considering the Twins imploded yesterday, much like they pretty much have all season, walloping to the defending American League champion Kansas City Royals on opening day for Target Field, would you say that the biggest highlight for the Twins yesterday so far, and basically for the whole season, is a big welcome to KG, his whole family, his two daughters, Tyus Jones, the welcome back for Torii Hunter, all that stuff yesterday, and like you said, just a pain in the rear end for the rest of the day. I mean, you had sunshine, you had all this brand new food at Target Field, and you know, local beers, and then the rest of it is just run after run after run by the Kansas City Royals.
It was just one. It was one of those days where just nothing went right, and we've had several of these kinds of days with the young season here for the Twins, where it's just nothing is right. Pitching. You know, whether it's starting or bullpen, I guess bullpen not quite as bad as the starting rotation, but just no offense, no defense, nothing. And that's what kind of day it was. It was opening day here at home yesterday, so that was great. The weather was good. It's always great. A lot of people make a big deal out of opening day when it comes home for the first game. And they had opening day in Detroit, opening day for Chicago with the White Sox, and then this is the third time around for them to sort of open ballparks, but they just didn't have it. It was a shame because they came out in large numbers. It was filled, was it not? Yeah. Did they sell it out?
First sellout since August of 2013. Last year, not a single sellout for the Twins.
So you have to think, you know, let's take in a game and have a good time out at the old ballpark and kick off the new season, see what kind of team we have in front of us, enjoy some of the new food on the menu. And they got a pretty bad game, though. It didn't really take off that bad. It was 5-3 for quite a while.
I want to say it was the eighth inning that it was just ridiculous. But so a sellout yesterday. Today the Twins have the day off. They're back at it tomorrow, and then a nooner game on Thursday, which you and I plan to go to.
Yes.
Then Friday we'll be broadcasting live in the afternoon from the office on Washington in between J.D. Hoyt and Deja Vu. How many people do you think are going to the games tomorrow night, Thursday during the game, during the day, and then Friday night against, I believe it's the Kansas City, or excuse me, the Cleveland Indians.
Indians. Yeah. I think probably a lot of people will want to go for the first night game just because it's fun at night. It's a lot of fun going down there at night. It's going to be cold, though, pretty crisp out there. But I think they'll take that in, and I think probably a pretty good number will show up, you know, to get involved with the game at noon. The nooner game is always fun, too. So I think we're going to try and get to that game, and hopefully it'll all work out where these guys finally turn it around and start winning some games.
Question two, tomorrow, the first day, Adrian Peterson eligible to be reinstated by the NFL. We could be talking about that a lot as we're talking at Hubert's, the last game for the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow. But we'll talk much more about this later in the show. But sometime tomorrow may set off a firestorm for teams that want to trade for Peterson, knowing that for sure he's going to be eligible to play in the league next year. If he's reinstated, is that going to put the Dallas Cowboys or the Arizona Cardinals or the Jacksonville Jaguars, is that going to put them in a spot now saying, okay, Adrian Peterson's officially back with the NFL, now let's talk about a possible trade with the Minnesota Vikings?
I think it's going to be go time for some teams that have been holding their cards and the poker face, not letting anyone know whether or not they're interested in Adrian Peterson. He could come up from a team that is completely not on the radar right now that we haven't even heard about. And they certainly don't want to be the part of the game that becomes a bidding war. Like, either the number works out for you or it doesn't. When the Vikings would want to pull the string on it, I think sometime before the draft. Then you know exactly what you have to do in the draft. But to think that the Cowboys would be in all in, or the Cardinals would be all in, and I just don't think those teams are the ones at all, because they know they know the Vikings are going to want a ton to trade to a team in the NFC, an up-and-coming team in both cases, up-and-coming teams in the NFC. I don't know why the Vikings would do that. I really don't with a player like this. And I don't think they want to put their name out there on anything because they don't want to compete against each other. It just drives the cost up. He's already expensive, super expensive.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because the teams are going to have to. Obviously, not, I don't think any of the teams that are possibly trade for Adrian Peterson want to pay him the $12.75 million. So there would have to be some sort of, I don't know, some sort of conversation between the team and the Minnesota Vikings, the team that's interested in Adrian Peterson working out a new contract if he's traded. And, I mean, there's so much more going into it. That's much more that's going to last than just the 10 minutes when they're on the clock of the NFL draft in Chicago, which starts here in about 2.5 weeks.
There's been a lot discussed already. If there's going to be a trade, it's already been discussed. He already told them when they went down to Houston that he would be willing to restructure his contract to make it doable for another team to come and get him. We know that.
Question three, the MLS expansion team, the Minnesota United FC, isn't asking for any money to build their downtown stadium, according to Governor Mark Dayton. They just want tax relief from things such as building materials and long-term tax help. Does that sound too good to be true? And if it's the case, seems like a slam dunk that the stadium and the team will be in town in a couple of years here, especially if they're going to spend all their own money. The owners, whether it be Glenn Taylor, the Minnesota Timberwolves, Jim Polad, and the Polads that are joining in for the Minnesota Twins and Minnesota United FC, $150 million. Yet they are only asking local politicians for tax relief.
I mean, if they want to sign on the dotted line on that, they've got all of the cost, and we lift the tax, I would think it would be slam dunk. It does sound a little bit too good to be true, though. There has to be something else, you would think.
But don't you think they would ask then? I mean, because they've already asked. They're not saying anything right now. They're in reach for comment. Nobody at the Minnesota United FC wanted to say anything about it. But so far, the Capitol in St. Paul, they're asking for tax relief, not asking for money to build a stadium.
I just think that it's a go if that's the case. If you want to play like that, I think we should be all in on that because of what it does for us. I mean, after you get it built, I understand that there's still a lot of money in the taxes and the building material tax on the building material and whatnot. But what you have there at the end of the project is something that generates a ton of revenue and just builds up that part of town again. And now you have three stadiums in Minneapolis, in the Minneapolis area, that just rejuvenates each individual part of the city that those stadiums are in.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, we saw what happened before Target Center. There was, before Block E, there was a parking spot, I think, that was right across the street from where Block E was. Same thing goes for Target Field in the North Loop. Same thing goes for the XL Energy Center along 7th Street in St. Paul. It would be a great area and a great place for, new construction, whether it be restaurants or bars or businesses around that part of where 94 on the other side of the Lowry Hill Tunnel. I think it's a great idea.
Incredible. I think it's fantastic if we do that. I mean, the years that we'll have coming into that new stadium, that new sport in this town. Just the residual income and revenue would be just tons. I mean, you would make your money back pretty quickly on that. And if you talk with anyone down in St. Paul, like you mentioned, I mean, a Tom Reed, or you talk to the people at McGovern's, or you talk to the people at the Downtowner, they're pretty happy with that Excel Center.
Yeah.
That's brought a lot of business to those places.
It's amazing. It really is. We've run out of time, so basically only 3.5 questions today. So we're talking about Adrian Peterson, and coming up next, we're going to talk about the top running backs that would be a possible, if the Minnesota Vikings do end up trading for Adrian, or trade away Adrian Peterson and get a first or second round draft pick for him. Which of these possible running backs in college would the Minnesota Vikings be chasing after? So one word going into this next segment, mm-hmm. One word on the Minnesota Vikings and the likelihood that you think that they'll trade Adrian Peterson during the draft.
Before and during the draft is when I think it'll happen. I think likely. The word is likely.
You think he'll be gone?
I think he'll be gone. I do. I think he'll be gone, and that's just me. Hey, give us a call, 651-989-9105, if you have a different thought. Or different notion as to whether or not they're going to try and trade him off or not. But come on back, and we'll do 4.5 questions next.
Radioactive Sports in the Afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
headphone for you, by the way.
You're selfish. You're selfish, and
what was going on here?
Fireworks. I think it's fireworks.
No, Leon Redbone is beating up his friends, it sounds like. This, of course, the music that you need me to play all day for some reason.
I had a friend named Campbell.
I'm trying to get things perked up around here. It's been nothing but dreary gloom and doom, and I'm trying to bring the spirits up.
Okay.
That's all.
Well, you're not doing a great job of it, I don't think.
Well, I'm sorry. Jeez.
It's all right. No, you're doing a
great job.
Must
be great to be so perfect.
It's not me. We were just talking about Adrian Peterson and obviously his possible reinstatement day by the NFL tomorrow, April 15th. If the Minnesota Vikings do end up trading Adrian Peterson, don't you think that they would select a running back in the first, second, or third round of the draft coming up here in just a little over 2 weeks in Chicago, right?
Yes.
So let's talk about the possibility of the top running backs in the NFL draft based on the projections from a really cool website called WalterFootball.com. Of course, there's Todd Gurley, number one, running back out of Georgia, 6'1", 222 pounds, 4.45, 40 time, projected round first overall, or not overall, but probably the first running back taken in the first round. Should be ready for the start of training camp. Of course, he has that completely blew out his knee.
ACL, MCL, I believe.
Good Lord.
So it's unreal, though, how they can work on these guys in this day. It really is a totally different process than when I had mine done back in 1988. It's a completely different protocol, and they can get people back on the field sooner, as we saw with Adrian, although that was somewhat freakish to see him come back the way he did and then to have almost 2,100 yards at the end of the season. But Gurley is, he's one of those guys. He's a beast.
He reminds me of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I mean, he's put together about like Adrian, 6'1", 220.
Averaged 7.5 yards per carry in 2014 on his way to 911 yards, 9 touchdowns, also made 12 receptions, 57 yards. He also was suspended for 4 games because of the before the Auburn contest for signing autographs, which was against the NCAA rules.
Well, God forbid. You know, the kid signs his autograph. Johnny Football did the same thing, paid a price for it. It's a shame that these schools can make the millions and millions of dollars, and a kid can't even use his own name. I'm sure he was charging someone something for it, or was he? I don't know. Maybe he wasn't.
That's
maybe just signing
what,
something.
It probably would have had to be. I mean,
he had to be charging something for it to be wrong.
Because NCAA, you can sign autographs, can't you? As long as you're not signing
anybody. I would think so. But you know the way the NCAA is, I wouldn't be surprised if they can ask you not to sign your name on anything or endorse anything. I wouldn't be surprised.
Obviously, number two would be Melvin Gordon, running back out of Wisconsin. He's 6'1", 215, 4.52, 40 time, projected round, obviously, in the first. Playmaker, excellent speed, along with pretty decent size and toughness in every down back. Averaged 7.5 yards per carry last year, 2,587 yards, 29 touchdowns. Obviously, we saw him play the Gophers. He caught 3 passes, 153 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2. Set the NCAA single game record in mid-November versus Nebraska, Big Ten game. 408 yards in 1 game, 25 carries, 4 touchdowns in only 3 quarters.
Were those all rushing yards?
Yeah.
Okay.
Melvin Gordon, I like that guy a lot.
He had 400 how many yards in 3 quarters?
408 against Nebraska.
That's not a bad deal at all, is it?
That's really good.
On 25 carries?
Yes.
Seems to me that guy might be a good selection.
I like him a lot.
No, I do too, and I'm just being funny. But I think that both guys fit the bill. Two things, though, when you look at a big-time running back. Don't just look at, you know, number of carries and yards, average yards. Look at, do they have soft hands? Can they catch the ball out of the backfield? Because in this day's NFL, you have to be able to swing out of the backfield and get a pass. And you have to be reliable. You don't want to have to come out of the game and put a back in that can catch a pass because it tips your hand.
Mm.
And you have to be able to pass block.
But don't you think those guys that the Minnesota Vikings already have on their roster, Jerick McKinnon and obviously Matt Asiata, those guys can catch balls out of the backfield.
They can.
And so why not, if Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley can't, and the Minnesota Vikings end up drafting him after trading Adrian Peterson, if that's the case in the first round, just a guy, one of those guys can be your between the tackle running backs, and then if you're going to have a catch outside of the backfield, you have Asiata or McKinnon do it.
No, I think it tips your hand, though. I think I think you put somebody else in, you kind of say, well, you know what, we need X number of yards, and we're going to swing it out of the backfield and maybe drop one off to a running back. But if you don't have to pay the big-time dollars to a first-round draft choice, I'd say, yeah, running back by committee, pick up someone on the second or third or fourth round as a running back. Mm-hmm. There will be a few good ones left over, and make best of that situation. And if you have to go first-rounder to a guy that can't even catch the ball out of the backfield, I'm sorry, that's probably too much.
Well, we have to take a break because we're running out of time, but there are four others that I would like to talk about that are projected to probably be drafted in the second or third round when it comes to running backs. Running back out of Boise State, J.E. There's Tevin Coleman, who I like a lot, running back out of Indiana. He's 5'11", 206.
Where's my guy?
Your guy, David Cobb?
Yeah.
He's, according to this website that I'm getting all this information from, walterfootball.com, he's rated 11th.
And projected, a lot of yards.
Projected round between the third and fifth round is one of the most productive runners in the nation in 24. He's physical, handled a big workload, 16 receptions, 162 yards.
Played against some of the best teams ever.
Yeah.
Some of the best of the best, right?
Averaged 5.2 yards per carry.
Nice.
1,626 yards, 13 touchdowns. He just isn't that fast. Just isn't fast enough.
You work on that. You work on that. I mean, what are we talking about, not fast? What is his, did they list a 40 time for him at Combine?
Remember, he didn't run in the Combine. He had his,
that's right, he had a hamstring.
He had his pro day just last, couple of days ago.
Okay.
It wasn't the end of last week, it was either yesterday.
He had a hamstring.
Yeah, but 4.65, 4.7.
Yeah, 40. You gotta get that down. He will. He'll get that down. He's been hampered with injuries, so. Let's take a little break and come on back and, talk, oh, gosh, it's Adrian's big day.
651-989-9105. Scott from Cottage Grove, we'll talk to him next. He has an opinion on Adrian Peterson. We'll talk about more, running backs and what's going to happen, because tomorrow could be a big day for Adrian Peterson, Roger Goodell, and the NFL.
May very well be the kind of thing that triggers several different things with the Vikings and other teams to maybe work out a deal to try and trade him off. Because it looks and seems more apparent to me that he's going to go somewhere else. Come on back. It's Radioactive Sports.